Welcome to Modern Digital Applications, a podcast for corporate decision makers and executives looking to create or extend their digital business with the help of modern applications, processes, and software strategy. Now, welcome your host, a recognized industry thought leader in cloud computing and published author, bringing over 30 years of experience, Lee Acheson.
In this episode, we know that using multiple availability zones helps increase your application availability and resiliency by distributing your application across multiple dispersed data centers. But did you know that availability zones don't necessarily give you the separation you'd expect? In fact, it is entirely possible to have two instances of a service running in two distinct availability zones, but actually having them run in the same data center, in the same physical rack, and possibly even in the same physical server. Well, how can this be? And even more importantly, how can we avoid it? The answer involves understanding how availability zones work and how they are structured. And then, one of the oddest cloud services created is also one of the first cloud services. Before AI and before machine learning, humans actually powered parts of the cloud. This is Life with Multiple AWS Accounts on Modern Digital Applications.
And now our main story on modern digital applications.
We all know that when you're building a large, highly performant, modern web application that's running at a high scale and high availability, it's important that you distribute that application across multiple data centers so that if you have any given data center failure, if a data center goes offline, the application can continue to function relatively normally. This is an industry-wide best practice, and it's an important characteristic to architect into your applications in order to make them highly available and scale the way you want them to make them resilient to serious data center problems or hardware problems that occur within your data centers. Well, that's true when your application is on-premise, but it's also true when your application is in the cloud. Except when you build a cloud-based application, you typically don't have visibility into which data center a particular server or a cloud resource might be located. They don't expose that information to you. Companies like AWS don't tell you what data center your application is running in. This abstraction of the cloud has its value, but it misses that piece of information. Not having this visibility into which data center your application is running, it makes it difficult to build a multi-data center resiliency plan based on your applications. After all, if you don't know what data center your application is running in, how can you make sure it's running in multiple data centers? Well, fortunately, cloud providers like AWS, while they don't tell you what data center your application is running in, they do give you information that can help you solve this particular problem most of the time. The solution that AWS came up with is an abstraction that they call availability zones. An AWS availability zone is an isolated set of cloud resources that allows specifying a certain level of isolation within your application. Resources within a single availability zone may physically be on the same devices or virtually on the same devices. For example, two EC2 servers that are in the same availability zone may be in the same data center, they may even be in the same rack, and they can even be in the same physical server instance. However, cloud resources that are in different availability zones are guaranteed to be separated into distinct data centers. They cannot be in the same data center, therefore they cannot be in the same rack, and they cannot be on the same physical servers. They're distinct and independent from each other. So by using multiple availability zones, you can build your application as if you were using multiple data centers. These availability zones, however, within a single region, are connected by very high-speed, low-latency networks so that resources in multiple availability zones can work together in a coordinated fashion, some ways even better than they can in multiple data centers. Hence, this is the solution that AWS provides to this redundancy resiliency problem. In an AWS cloud-based application, to have the same level of resiliency that you can have with multiple redundant physical data centers, you can build your application to live in multiple availability zones. If you construct your application so your instances of your application are distributed across multiple availability zones, you can isolate yourself from hardware failures, such as server failures, rack failures, or even an entire data center with an AWS failing. Using multiple availability zones allows you to build in the resiliency and availability of your application that you require by these sorts of redundant solutions. So loosely, an availability zone can be thought of as a data center. At a high level, this is pretty accurate and works in most cases, but there is a problem with this assumption. First, there's not a one-to-one mapping of availability zones to data center. When you create your AWS account, your availability zone names are mapped to individual data centers in a dynamic fashion. This means that one AWS account may have an availability zone named something like US East 1A, and they may map that to data center number 4. And another account may have the same availability zone mapped to data center number 2. Worse yet, a given data center may map to different availability zones in different accounts. So, for example, in account 1, the availability zone US 1A may map to data center number 4. But in account 2, that same data center may map to availability zone US East 1B. This can create a problem. This mapping is normally hidden from you and it doesn't matter to you and is handled transparently within AWS. And it's a reasonable thing for them to do and acceptable for them to do. The reason why they do it is so that they can dynamically optimize the use of resources in multiple data centers more effectively across multiple accounts. If there's 30 data centers in a region and they present 5 availability zones to each account, they can move those around across different data centers and allow each account to load balance across those data centers. However, this can create a problem for you if your application, your single application within your company, your one application, makes use of multiple AWS accounts. Since availability zone names are randomly assigned to data centers on a per account basis, this means that a given availability zone in different accounts may end up in different data centers. Now, that by itself isn't really a problem, but it also means that 2 different availability zone names in 2 different accounts could map to the same data center. This can be a problem for availability purposes. What this means is if you're using multiple AWS accounts for a single application, you can no longer assume that 2 different availability zones are guaranteed to be in 2 different data centers. This makes it hard to implement the multiple data center best practice as we talked about earlier. So if you are using multiple accounts and you want to guarantee data center uniqueness across accounts, you cannot use the availability zone name as that label for determining uniqueness. Well, if you can't do that, how do you guarantee your application resides in a different data center? If you have an EC2 instance that's running an availability zone US East 1A and another EC2 instance that's running an availability zone US East 1B, if those are in different accounts, you cannot guarantee that those 2 aren't in the same data center, or even in the same rack, or even on the same physical server. You can't use that label to make that distinction. The answer to this problem, if you're using multiple accounts, is to not use the availability zone label as the method of enforcing the data center independence. Instead, there's a different concept you should use, and that's called the AZID. If 2 availability zones in different accounts have different AZIDs, you can be sure that those 2 availability zones are distinct data centers. Using this ID, the AZID, rather than the availability zone name, is a safe way to ensure your applications live in distinct data centers across multiple accounts. It's important for availability purposes to ensure that your application makes effective use of multiple data centers for resiliency. Failure to use the AZID versus the availability zone name can result in architecting an application that has unexpected and undesired internal infrastructure dependencies that could negatively impact your application's availability. So given an EC2 instance, how do you determine its AZID? To do this, you have to use the AWS console. In the AWS console, if you go to the Resource Access Manager, or RAM, it's in the services menu. It's listed one of the services. In that service, there is a chart that shows you the mapping for this particular account from availability zone name to AZID. So by comparing that mapping from one account to another account, you can make sure that your EC2 instances are in separate AZIDs in order to give you the proper resiliency. Once again, you need to use the AZID, not the availability zone name, in order to guarantee resiliency when you're dealing with multiple AWS accounts. It's important for availability purposes to ensure that your application makes effective use of multiple data centers for redundancy and resiliency. Failure to do this can result in architecting an application that has unexpected and undesired internal infrastructure dependencies that could negatively impact your application's availability. For more information on this topic, take a look at the article, How to Maintain Availability When Using Multiple AWS Accounts, an article that I wrote in InfoWorld. I also talk about this topic in my book, Architecting for Scale, published by O'Reilly Media. Links to this article and to my book are available in the show notes.
This is Tech Tappers, little bits of tech here on Modern Digital Applications.
One of the oddest cloud services created was also one of the first cloud services. In 2005, Amazon's Jeff Bezos had an idea and created the Mechanical Turk service. Mechanical Turk, or MTurk, was a service that allowed one to programmatically request execution of microtasks that could only be performed by a human being. The service allowed software applications to request the execution of a task, and on the back end, a human was used to execute the task. In the days before high-quality artificial intelligence, it was a way of automating many tasks that only a human could perform. One of the early uses for Mechanical Turk was to use it to compare photographs of products to determine if the photographs were of the same product or of different products. A single microtask might be to compare one picture to another and respond back yes or no if they represented the same product. This technique was used to improve the quality of the Amazon catalog. Another common use was to examine a picture of a sales receipt and record what information was found on the receipt. Workers in the back end were paid for each task they completed, typically making an average of 10 cents for each microtask that they completed. I remember when I was working at Amazon the day that Jeff presented to the employees the Mechanical Turk service. It was highly innovative at the time. Of course, most of what it could do is now, or soon will be, replaced by machine learning algorithms and artificial intelligence. But still, it was a fantastic innovation at the time.
Thank you for listening to Modern Digital Applications with Lee Acheson. Lee helps executives keep up with industry trends and best practices in cloud computing, application scaling, DevOps, and applications modernization in order to stay in front of disruptive influencers. Subscribe to this podcast to ensure you get each new episode as it's available. Visit mdacast.com for all the resources and publications from Lee and his team. Thank you for tuning in to today's show.